It's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
Hello and welcome. He is Gary McNamara. I'm Eric Harley. Hey, kids. Welcome to Friday. It's the bonus show. Gary, I'm planning as of right now, if nothing comes up, to stay for the whole program.
I appreciate that, if you possibly could. You know,
just got bored.
It was me. You were bored. You got boring, Gary, so I had to go. We got a great show ahead. The Iowa's results are in. No, this is not a repeat show from 2 weeks ago. The Associated Press fact checks Democrats on the coronavirus funding.
Yeah.
Said, you know, stop it. We already hit it the other day. We said, look, there has been no cuts in funding, and the majority of the money to handle things has already been allocated.
Yeah.
Anything else in the future, and we've talked about the politics of it, and we'll continue talking about the politics of it. Stock market down big time.
Wow.
Yesterday. Excuse me, yesterday we will get to that. South Carolina primary tomorrow. Super Tuesday around the corner, the latest polls. Latest study. What would the effect on the economy be if we banned fracking and all oil exploration, as the Democrats wish to do? We will get to that. Democrat leaders willing to risk party damage to stop Bernie. You see that New York Times story?
Yeah, of course.
On the superdelegates, vast majority don't want Bernie.
Well,
and wouldn't go for Bernie. And the top Democrats don't care. They look at it and say, we would rather lose and not have Bernie,
yeah,
then lose,
right,
with Bernie.
Well, this is the craziest thing about this is why they changed the rule after 2016, because superdelegates had essentially pre-pledged for Hillary,
mm-hmm,
late in the primary, rigging it against Bernie. Well, now you basically have the same thing. It's just that you don't have the sentiment that they don't want to support Bernie. So Bernie supporters are going to get burned again. Looking at Nate Silver's forecast, it came up about, it's less than an hour old. That forecast is now at 49% brokered convention. I read this right. 49% for a brokered convention. Again, this is a forecast, not a poll. 32% in second place. That's Bernie. That's incredible. That's a 17-point stretch. And you start looking at South Carolina coming up tomorrow, Super Tuesday just a few days after that. I don't know what the party does here, but because if they don't want Bernie and everything implodes at convention July 13th through the 16th, then who? And then you're not going to get the far left. AOC's going to tell you to stay home.
Well, I think that one of the reasons that everybody's staying in is because if it's a brokered convention, you don't know how it could end up.
You have no idea.
You could end up being president of the United States if you just happen to stay in. Or you could end up being vice president of the United States if you happen to stay in.
Well, Beto could come back and say, I'm back in. A convention.
One could only hope.
Telling you, I would almost give him $100.
I was reading. I got to just very quickly here. I was like, okay, folks, you're. It was on. Here it is. Texas looms large.
Mm.
This is RealClearPolitics.com as Super Tuesday bonanza for Democrats. And the whole point is, and the excitement's out there about Sanders and the possibility of Sanders taking Texas in the general election.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay. We may be jumping a little bit too far ahead right now.
Right, right. Yeah. I think it's, If Bernie shows up with a plurality, let's see where he would get. All right. So they're saying basically, and this has increased, by the way. He was, what, at 1550, 1560 on the delegates in the forecast. In other words, at convention time, he would have going into convention somewhere about 1550 or 1560 somewhere.
Is that what it says right now?
No. It's now it's 1628, but it's still far below 1991.
Okay. Yesterday was over 1700.
Really?
Yes.
Oh,
yes. When I checked
wow.
at the end of the show yesterday,
wow,
it was over 1700. I'm like, oh wow, that's a so it's dropped now
because to, for the yeah. longest time when brokered convention was in the 30s on the forecast, they had Bernie at somewhere around 1550 or 1560, maybe 1575, fluctuated as the forecast changed. But now 1628, and it was over 1700 this time
yes.
yesterday.
Yes.
Wow.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah, the magic number is there are 3,979 delegates to grab, okay, total, available. And that magic number to get over 50% is 1991. So he's got to get to 1991. In this forecast, he doesn't get close. He's 300.
And then who knows? Now, and the thing
now.
Is, again, momentum changes everything. If Biden wins big as... again, you know, who knows? I mean, I'm looking at the, where are we here now? Okay. Why do I have that as my poll? Let me get, for some reason, the polls here. Okay. Let me find the latest on South Carolina. Mm. If this keeps going where it is and Biden, look at these. Here we go. South Carolina, Monmouth, Emerson, two of the latest polls.
Yeah.
Biden 16, Biden 20. Now, the Post and Courier has...
Yeah, plus 16, plus 20.
Plus
yeah.
16, plus 20, right. Biden plus 4 in the other poll that was taken. But you're talking about in the Emerson poll, Biden 41, Sanders 25, Steyer 11, Buttigieg 11, Warren 5, Klobuchar 6. Mm. In the Monmouth poll, Biden 36, Sanders 16, Steyer 15, Buttigieg 6, Warren 8. And then the Post and Courier, Biden 28, Sanders 24. So, again, is it like we've talked about before and seen before that people are just all over the place, that they don't know? We've talked about the Democrats out there that have been polled that have been consistently changing their minds mm-hmm. over, you know, we've heard this since Iowa and New Hampshire. Remember the one woman that said, well, I voted for Bernie. I'd vote for anybody, but I voted for Bernie because the media was pounding on him all the time.
Yeah, right.
It's like, well, no substance of the ideas of how he's different. No, I just, you know, whatever.
And the other one, I voted for Klobuchar. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where their party is right now. But.
And that's where we came up with the saying, mo for clo.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, exactly.
Now, here's the other thing, too. I mean, we hear all of these things. I haven't got the, today is the final day of early voting in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
In the first day, I got to go back and get this from Dallas Morning News, make sure I get this right. In the first 5 days of early voting, so that would have been up until last Saturday, pretty good turnout. But you had a greater turnout. I had misread off the air. I'd said something to you. Yeah, the Republican turnout wasn't as great. Actually, the total turnout in those 5 days was better than in 2016.
For Republican.
For Republican okay. primary, and there really isn't a Republican primary.
No,
technically, there is. But, I mean... Let me see if I can pull that up. But it was very impressive that Trump is driving people to the polls when he's the presumptive nominee. I mean, there's nobody making the case
right.
that anybody is going to, you know, what's the who's the Republican pundit that's running against him? Walsh, right?
Yeah.
Joe Walsh.
Well, no, he's out. I thought he was out.
Did he drop?
Yeah, I thought he dropped out.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I mean, he's still on ballots, I guess. That's the
oh,
point.
Okay.
There was another guy in Texas, a friend of mine early voted. I'm going to try and do that later today.
Now, there are a ton in Texas. I don't know if this is driving. There are a ton of propositions.
Yes, right, yes.
You know, local propositions right. on a lot of different ballots out there. So that may be driving.
Yes, great
some,
point.
Again, I don't know what's driving it. I can't tell you.
Right,
I'm just saying that.
And there hasn't been an exit poll. I don't think the Dallas Morning News actually put that here. I'll go back and double check. I don't want to undermine their work. But in the first 5 days.
Well, sure you can. They
why not?
They won't pick a candidate.
They're one of the major newspapers, along with others that aren't choosing one candidate. The New York Times chose two. Other papers are like, we're out of it. Culinary Union in Nevada, we don't want to endorse. So here we have it. The first 5 days of early voting. Again, we don't know what's driving it, but it was fairly impressive. The Democratic Party had in 2016 had a total of in that same period of 115,000 pop-up ad. Thank you very much. 115,593. And in 2020, 182,134. So an increase for Democrats there. And the Republican Party, again, this is Texas. In the first 5 days of the primary in the Republican primary in Texas in 2016, it was 131,136. And in 2020, 140,407. So you saw an increase again. But there is a much greater divide right now in terms of the parties than there was in 2016 because
it's completely different.
You had the Never Trumpers who actually still, you know, back then they had more than three people. And you had going into convention, Ted Cruz. Is it four? Okay, I'm sorry. They have four people.
No, I'm laughing because I talked when you abandoned me yesterday.
Yeah.
I
when I quit.
When you
now the blogs are all going to say, yeah. Did you hear Eric quit?
When Eric was suspended, I like that one.
Now that's even better.
When Eric was suspended. But because you and I talked about this off the other day before, and I said, and I was just talking about how you and I talked about CPAC and, you know, how much should we talk about it, you know, and I said, well, if there's some good speeches, we'll play some good speeches.
Sure.
But I started talking about the fact, 'cause there was an article, I believe, was it Vanity Fair? I forgot where I saw it, that was talking about the Never Trumpers their own get together out there. And I started talking about just the whole concept of people boxing themselves into a corner by stating, you know, I'm a Never Trumper, by labeling yourself, not by your political ideology,
right,
but by, you know,
yeah,
which is fine, you know.
Right,
but,
that's fine, yeah.
But by the point that I'm a Never Trumper no matter what, that no matter what he does, you know, Bill Kristol sounds like he's always been a Democrat.
Yes.
And it's just like to the point of just absurdity. Mm-hmm. And then I talked, you know, about CPAC a little bit and just said, look, you know, if they say they're going to, that anybody's invited, well, then anybody should be invited, but they can do whatever they want.
Yeah, it's
and
it's,
if they want to do a Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, go ahead. I think it's stupid.
Yeah, right.
To be honest with you,
we're going to try and have them at FISACon, but no.
Yes, yeah. FISACon. Yes, we'd have a FISACon, but look, you can do whatever you want. You can do whatever you want. Whenever you wish to do it. But
I think the big story from CPAC is that Mitt Romney actually did show up. The problem was he was out in his car in the parking lot crying. But, and we see the turnout in New Hampshire for Trump and what that was. And again, were there other drivers there? But the fact that he outperformed even Ronald Reagan. Who was, in terms of their reelection bid, the two-term presidents and their reelection bid in that state, there was again, because he's the presumptive nominee. I mean, there's nobody making the case that anybody's going to get any of the delegates. So
No. So like I said, we got a great show ahead. All right.
Good.
So if you want to get in, we'd love to hear from you because it's the Friday show, right?
As far as I know.
And brokered convention is in a... That's the biggest lead for brokered convention ever, isn't it?
By far.
And when you look at all the different polls there, you see Sanders is winning one, Biden another one. Maybe Klobuchar in her state, whatever, but it's Biden and Sanders back and forth, but there's people really close that are proportionally going to pick up delegates. And I'm thinking to myself, with all the polls that came out over the last 24 hours of the Super Tuesday states, that's got to be why the 538 forecast is like brokered convention just moved way up.
Yeah,
because now you have a handle on what's going to happen in the next week, which will set that momentum as to where we're going.
Yep, sure.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
Front Eye Radio. He is Eric Hurley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Thank you so much for being with us this morning. We'll get to all the polls coming up here in a little bit, and a little bit of talk on the whole coronavirus. The problem is, and you see in the media, everybody is speculating.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody. Mm-hmm. And the thing about coronavirus is nobody knows.
Right.
Nobody knows. Now, are the Democrats playing politics with it? After we separated yesterday pending a divorce, just kidding, after you walked out on me.
after our lawyers couldn't come to an agreement.
let's get the conspiracy theories going. I got into a little bit of discussion about, you know, the politics of it, and are the Democrats playing politics? The Associated Press brought out the two things about Bloomberg and Biden the other day in South Carolina, saying funding hasn't been cut. They keep saying funding's been cut.
Yeah.
Funding hasn't been cut, and they still stick to that narrative.
Right.
Look, they're going to play. They don't care. And reason we know they don't care about playing politics with coronavirus and setting the nation into a panic is we saw what they did. And like I said, it's very simple. Nobody can debate it. Nobody has tried to debate it. Even yesterday when I got a Bernie Sanders supporter to call, they didn't disagree that impeachment was completely and totally bogus.
Yeah.
But Article 2 shows you that they don't care about putting the nation into complete panic by trying to overturn a legit election by stating that the president cannot enact or proclaim that he wishes to protect his constitutional rights of the executive branch under the Constitution. They wish to remove him from office. If they'll do that, they'll politicize anything.
Yep.
They don't care about panic. They don't care about a legit presidential election, and they attempt to overturn that with bogus charges. You think they care about causing a panic of coronavirus?
No, they don't. They don't. Down 1190 on the Dow for Thursday. Futures down 360 right now. Creating a panic doesn't work for this president. It works against the president. Talking as if, you know, because if they create the panic, the Dow falls. Crashes.
Okay. All right.
All that.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Creating the panic is not. You saw the president up there. It's like, look, you know, make sure you go through the same thing you do during flu season and, you know, sanitize, make sure you wash your hands. And the press corps actually treated him fairly nicely during a couple of those moments, because he said, someone came up to me the other day and hugged me, and I said, how you been? How you feel? He goes, well, I've had the fever. And he's like, oh, I got to go wash my hands. But it was, you know, he was just trying to be calm, cool, and collect about it. And now he's not taking that seriously enough. But who's creating the panic, I guess, is the question. Here's your forecast.
The area of active weather today that'll see snowfall overnight but rain by about midday would be eastern Tennessee near Knoxville along I-81, southwestern Virginia, Bristol, Kingsport, Johnson City. Snow flurries overnight, rain by noon. Eastern Kentucky, mainly I-64, but south of Indianapolis certainly, and near Louisville, just a trace of snow overnight, then rain by noon. Most all of West Virginia affected by the overnight snow. Not a lot of accumulation, but low temperatures in the 20s. And by mid-morning, early afternoon, we'll see a changeover from snow to rain. So there could be the small window potential for icing during that period. In the west, rain for Washington, Oregon, and Northern California's coast. Snow in the mountains for the Sierras and Cascades. And that snow will spill over into northern Idaho. A look at your national forecast this morning from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
One 866-90-RED-EYE. We're taking your calls on Red Eye Radio.
And he is Eric Hurley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Looking at the, by the way, he's Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara. Sorry, ahead of myself already, just looking at all the different stories out there. But the Associated Press fact check, Democrats distort coronavirus readiness. They have Bloomberg the other day. There's nobody here to figure out what the hell we should be doing. And he's defunded. He's defunded Centers for Disease Control. So we don't have the organization we need. This is a very serious thing. Joe Biden comparing the Obama administration with now. We increased the budget for the CDC. We increased the NIH budget. He's wiped that all out. He cut funding for the entire effort. The facts, they're both wrong to say that agencies have seen the money cut.
Yeah.
Bloomberg is repeating the false allegation in a new ad that states that the U.S. is unprepared for virus because of reckless cuts due to the CDC.
Yet in Bernie's plan, he wants to cut military spending a huge chunk. That's how, in part, how he's trying, what he's telling you, it's not going to happen, how he's going to pay for all of his programs. The American government has a role, their primary role, to protect the American people. And Trump's not ready enough. Oh, and we want to cut military. So if this were an enemy attack, they wouldn't have a problem cutting military spending.
Yeah, so when you're talking about protecting, when you're talking about protecting the homeland, they would have no problem massively cutting the military if they believed that they could get away with it.
And now let's move on to another topic and related to coronavirus. Let's go ahead and open the borders.
Let's open the borders, right?
Come on, open borders. Who's with me?
Yeah.
Because it's wrong. You're a bigot if you say otherwise. If you challenge me when I say we should have open borders, you're a bigot.
Well, we've actually closed down transportation between certain countries.
Yeah.
We actually do have a we're actually involved in a travel ban.
Well, I mean, look at it. Remember the Syrian refugee thing? You know, there was concern that members of ISIS were posing as refugees in that group, in that pool of so-called refugees. And you don't know. You don't know if they are or not. Well, let's bring them stateside. No, we can take them to neutral territory and make sure that they're treated humanely.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's compare that to the coronavirus. Why are you people so bigoted against people from China wanting to come to the U.S.? The temporary travel ban, remember that? That's wrong. That's harming people.
Well, and that's why when we talk about open, you know, about knowing who comes into this country, there's a number of reasons why it is completely, totally legit and not racist at all. And that's why we have gone after and talked about open borders and mm-hmm. why the Democratic mm-hmm. Party is there. And had a caller last night from a ton of Democrat callers last night. Apparently the awakening is happening now.
Mm-hmm.
This is somebody who thought thought Trump was an idiot and now will vote for Trump and still thinks he tweets too much. But when it comes down to the substance of what he's actually done, he thinks it's pretty good. He's never voted Republican before and now is going to vote, you know, for Trump and doesn't recognize his party.
Well,
we went through all the different things. I said, you understand that your party had a completely different opinion less than a decade ago on immigration. He goes, yes, I know.
Well, I mean, there's the thing right there. They don't recognize their party. When you have people like James Carville, Rahm Emanuel, these people were at the core of the game for the Democrats back in the day. I mean, they are the people who designed the so-called community organizers, getting the people to the polls, getting people motivated to vote. They know what the mindset is. They know what works, what doesn't. And it hasn't changed because our society has changed. It's the same kind of motivation. Now, you have a number of people, and we talked about this. It was the day after the election in 2016. We've talked about it for years, but we hit this point. The far left is leading the party. They're mm-hmm. leading the media.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it now. I mean, nobody argues.
No doubt about it.
Even a year ago, we had a few stragglers call up and argue.
Right.
Nobody yesterday, none of the Democrats who called, argued that point. They agreed that the far left has taken over.
Exactly. You know, I was filling in on the WBAP morning news the other day. We had Sean Spicer on. And he was press secretary. And I said,
I remember.
Yeah. I said, you know, what do you, you remember that he was press secretary or that I talked to him?
No, that he was press secretary. I barely remember
that I talked to him, but
a little bit of sarcasm because I didn't think he was very good.
the whole idea of the back and forth, the exchange. And I said, Sean, these are activists, not journalists. You agree? He's wow. I guess I never thought of it that way. I said, they are. It was the day after the last exchange with the president and Jim Acosta. And I said, well, they are. They just want to fight you. They want to show up and fight you. And he goes, that's exactly how it was. Exactly how it was when I was there. And, you know, this is the kind of thing that we have seen for years. There's activism everywhere, but it's not just in the media. The media is the propaganda. It's the activist propaganda. And it's not like they all get online, or maybe they do. I haven't been to the dark web. Have you been to the dark web yet?
No, I have not been to the dark web.
I don't know if they have meetings or not. It's not a grand conspiracy.
But LifeLock always tells me that the dark web may be interested in me.
Yes, exactly. I get the same thing from LifeLock. But because we got this call, I forget what we were talking about. Well, you guys think it's this grand conspiracy. No, it's just a mindset. We never said conspiracy. Now, there are small groups. I don't know. If you look at Strzok, Comey, McCabe,
right.
You know, okay, they could have been working together, conspiring together, working together on a certain thing. But it's the same mindset that gets you there.
Well, we've encompassed everything. We've said either it is a conspiracy in certain areas or it's a culture.
Right.
And one thing that we've recognized over the last couple of years after the Obama administration is the culture that exists. So it may not be, you know, a connect the dot conspiracy that's going on between everybody. It can be in certain cases.
Sure.
But it's just a culture that it is accepted that everybody just has the same mindset and therefore it's acceptable. Trump, we can do things that break the rules.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because it's Trump.
Well, you go back to the whole Lois Lerner IRS thing with the Tea Party, right? And we said it then. Look, it's the tone that is set. It's not there because we would get calls. Well, there's clearly a memo coming now from the White House to the IRS and blah, blah. No. I mean, we have no evidence of that. We don't have to have it. It's not necessary. In fact, what's worse than a conspiracy? Because conspiracies can be found out. Is the mindset spreading, growing? Because it is motivational in nature. It's the individual going out. Right. The, you know, because at that point they told us it was two rogue agents in Cleveland or something, you know, on that IRS thing. Well, it's a mindset. And it's a behavior. And if someone takes it upon themselves to, well, I don't know, Yovanovitch, former ambassador to Ukraine, she knew better on foreign policy than the president, stepping outside of her role to undermine the president.
Right.
That culture exists everywhere.
And that's a culture that clearly understands that the president sets. They know the president sets foreign policy, yet the culture is not this president.
Right.
That we know. That whether it's arrogance, whether it's their hatred, I don't know. But the culture, definitely you could see, and that's one thing that I think a lot of the impeachment hearings brought out, that they had nothing against the president, but they all had the same feeling that anything he did was unacceptable, where they actually brought to the forefront, well, he was trying to change foreign policy.
Right.
Well, that's what presidents do.
He gets to do that.
But the culture knew that.
Yeah.
They knew.
Right.
They know that Obama set foreign policy, and they know that Trump sets foreign policy.
Right.
But they are so blinded by, and I'll call it the culture of hatred
that
exists in there, that they all just said, well, we're just not going to follow it. So you don't need, and we've made the point, what's worse, a direct conspiracy or a culture where the rot exists in a bureaucratic organization because of the culture that exists, the same mindset
yep.
that we have the correct mindset, and anybody else who comes in does not have the correct mindset if they don't fit where we fit, and therefore rule-breaking, law-breaking is acceptable.
Yep.
To me, that's actually worse than a conspiracy.
Yeah, that's exactly my point I was making, is that, and we've talked about this before, because a conspiracy can be found out. If it's a grand conspiracy, at some point, someone's going to talk. Well, when you have a culture, the culture spreads kind of like a virus because the mindset is there and it's shared by people and it motivates them. They believe they have become empowered, whether it's two rogue agents at the IRS or rogue agents at the FBI or a rogue CIA director, Brennan. I mean, there. You seriously look at that, and if you want to look at something that can bring a nation down, you want a pandemic that can bring a nation down, that's it.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Good morning. Thank you for being here on this Friday, the South Carolina primary coming up tomorrow, and then Super Tuesday just a few days away. And already the calls for Bloomberg to get out.
Yeah.
We'll play some of this audio coming up here following the top of the hour because it's just really, really good because you and I – And I was playing the audio cut, and you said, "What do you know what that means?" And we'll tell you coming up following the top.
Yeah. Huge red flag in this suggestion coming from this person. So we'll talk about that.
The other story that Democrat leaders willing to risk party damage to stop Bernie Sanders. And this is actually looking at the superdelegates and how the superdelegates would vote, but inside the Democrat Party, they don't care if it would cause damage. They don't want Bernie in there. They believe that it would be a huge loss, and down the ballot would they could lose the House because of
right,
it.
Right, right.
And so they view a possible Bernie Sanders nomination as just pure doom.
Yeah, and it is. It is. But it's also doom if they go to convention, a brokered convention, and he comes out, you know, he arrives with a plurality and then comes out and he's not the nominee leaving convention.
Right.
It's just all going to implode.
But that's a story that came out yesterday. The New York Times had it saying inside the Democrat Party, they want him gone and they don't care
yeah.
whether it causes damage. They don't care whether it splits the party. They believe that that Sanders being the nominee would be more damaging. So we'll get to that.
Mm.
Also, the Iowa results are in.
This isn't Flashback Friday, is it?
No. The results of the Iowa caucus remain unchanged even after a recount by the Iowa Democratic Party, which was requested by two of the Democratic front runners, Buttigieg and Sanders. The recount process resulted in no change in the national delegate allocation. Buttigieg remained the winner of the state with a marginally higher delegate count than Sanders.
Mm.
So there you go. So,
yeah. I
think that's the final recount. That's it.
Yeah.
Are we done?
No, because someone will challenge it tomorrow morning.
Are we done with Iowa?
Well, how many times can you re-challenge? How many times can you go at it?
I think they're probably done with Iowa.
Yeah. Okay. Because,
you know, Buttigieg has bigger problems right now.
Yeah. Like the fact that he'll never be, pre- or he won't be president anytime soon.
Well, that's the other thing, too. Everybody's sticking around. And is everybody sticking around? Well, they got the money, so why not?
Okay, so this goes back to my question the other night. We'll get into a theory here, conspiracy theory. The party's helping or at least pushing donors in the direction of all the others, anyone except Bernie. Now, of course, Bloomberg doesn't have donors, but everybody else. Now, Biden still has donors coming in. Buttigieg still has some money coming in.
Warren's
money is there. It's not what it was, you know, in terms of the rate coming in, but she still has money coming in. They can all stay on until the end of March. Well, March has the brunt. I think it's over half of the delegates in that month alone, starting next Tuesday. So we'll see where it goes.
This hour's news is brought to you by Travel Centers of America, home of World Lens Coffee, the freshest roast on the road.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the world, 866-90-RED-EYE, redeyeradioshow.com. We stream live. Get our app also and put it on your phone. Listen whenever you want. Yeah. We make it very easy for you. Very easy for you. Of course, the show's getting in the way of me scanning the headlines of the Babylon Bee. And I don't like that because this headline's pretty good. Huh? Bernie Sanders praises China for eradicating poverty by killing all the poor people.
That's funny.
Just greatness.
We have an update from 538.
Yes. Breaking news.
Breaking Red Eye Radio news. This happened a little over 30 minutes ago. They had, I'm not sure what the algorithms are in updating the forecast and you know, what data is coming in. I really don't know how that works. We'd have to ask Nate Silver. But they have been updating it more and more. And here we are, again, the forecast. Not a poll, but the forecast. In first place, brokered convention, meaning nobody gets over 50% of the delegates in the Democratic primary. 51%.
Oh, that's the first time it's
first time
the 50% barrier.
That's right. It is.
Since we've been covering it.
Well, when we started, remember, it was at 25.
Yes.
When you and I first looked at it, and the only reason we kept on it is because it kept going up. Now, at one point, there was the inversion and Bernie was leading after it was this past weekend. Actually, Sunday night, Monday morning on the show, Bernie was at 48, 47, and brokered was at 42. Bernie is now at 32. Brokered convention, 51%, and Bernie has a 32% chance. Let me see. Let me go back to the okay, so now the delegate count forecast is 1640 for Bernie. What was the last hour? I forgot what it was. 1626, maybe?
Yeah,
something like that.
Right.
And you said yesterday at this time, I didn't see it, but yesterday it was over 17.
Over 17, yes.
He has to, or, well, the nominee, to be the presumptive nominee, you have to have 1991 out of the 3979. There's a total of 3,979 delegates. And you have to get over 50% to be the presumptive nominee. And that magic number is 1991. So then you look at Biden. The forecast at Nate Silver's website is that Biden will get 1225 right now. And Biden has, let's see, a 1 in 6 chance, 16% chance. Now, just the other day, he was at 9, Biden was. So obviously, the momentum and the new polls coming in for South Carolina
have helped him tremendously.
Yep.
What I find interesting is a narrative that seemed to be going on yesterday among Democrats. I mean, the New York Times article was at Friedman, Thomas Friedman, who wrote the article. This is how you should beat Trump. He said, what I suggest is Sanders and Michael Bloomberg lay it out this way, that and here's how he writes it. What would he talked about? They need a unity ticket. What would this unity ticket look like? Well, I suggest Sanders and Michael Bloomberg, who seems to be his most viable long-term challenger, lay it out this way. Quote, I want people to know that if I'm the Democratic nominee, these will be my cabinet choices, my team of rivals. I want Amy Klobuchar as my vice president. Her decency, experience, and moderation will be greatly appreciated across America and particularly in the Midwest. I want Mike Bloomberg or Bernie Sanders, oh my God, as my Secretary of Treasury.
Give me a break.
Sanders as your Secretary of Treasury? Bloomberg, that's it within the realm of possibility, right?
Yeah, right.
I want Bernie Sanders as my Secretary of Treasury. Our plans for addressing income inequality are actually not that far apart, and if we can blend them together, it will be great for the country and reassure markets. I want Joe Biden as my Secretary of State. No one in our party knows the world better or has more credibility with our allies than Joe. I will ask Elizabeth Warren to serve as our Health and Human Services Secretary. No one could bring more energy and intellect to the task of expanding health care for more Americans than Senator Warren. I want Kamala Harris for our Attorney General. So he's basically saying anybody who was a candidate becomes part of your team.
Yeah.
If we include everybody, then we can get the unity vote. I would like Tom Steyer to head a new cabinet position, Secretary of National Infrastructure.
This is so stupid.
I would want Mayor Pete as Homeland Security Director. His intelligence and military background would make him a quick study.
That's just stupid.
For this job. I'm asking Cory Booker, the former mayor of Newark, to become Secretary of Housing and Urban Development. Now, this is the best one. I am asking Mitt Romney to be my Commerce Secretary.
Okay, that fits. I mean, at least he's thinking clearly there. But yeah, yeah.
I am asking Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez to serve as our UN ambassador.
Wow. I love it.
Can you imagine how our international standing would improve with youth worldwide with her representing the next generation of America?
Oh, my gosh. You kidding me?
Thomas Friedman, this is a couple of days ago. Dems wanted to defeat Trump, form a team of rivals. And we've been hearing a lot of desperate things coming out from the Democrats right now. I want to play this audio cut here. This is from Morning Joe.
All right.
Okay. Basically saying Bloomberg has to get out. I'm just going to play the audio cut. Okay. We will analyze it next. Okay, here we go. All right, here's the audio.
If Joe Biden has a great night on Saturday night, that if that is still Michael Bloomberg's goal, is to stop Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren, he needs to drop out early Sunday morning. Because if he does not, take a look at this Texas poll. If he does not, he is actually helping Bernie Sanders win the nomination. This billionaire will be helping Bernie. This is the 2020 Democratic nomination polling out of Texas. Biden and Sanders are tied at 24 with Bloomberg at 17. Mm. This is what it would look like if Bloomberg get out of the race. Mm-hmm. Biden easily wins. He's outside the margin. And you can go ahead and put that across another 20 or 30 states. Mike Bloomberg, if Biden does well, and if Bloomberg stays in the race, will be the guy remembered as the politician, the billionaire who got Bernie Sanders elected.
And if Mike Bloomberg wants to be an American hero, he would step out. And, you know, I've been saying all along, Bloomberg's got a great opportunity. I think after these first two debates, I don't think the right stuff is there. And if he came out that next day and said, not only am I getting out, I'm getting behind Biden, and Biden said, well, I'm going to make you my Secretary of State, that would change dynamics in this race in a dramatic way. I don't know if it's going to happen, but Mike Bloomberg, it's your chance to be a patriot here.
All right. And now, the number one, first off, the obvious thing that it's the morning show on MSNBC. And
yeah,
remember
yeah.
the whole thing last week that MSNBC needs to bring on more
pro-Bernie
people,
uh-huh.
Intelligent pro-Bernie people. And here they are coming up with all the different ways to ensure on MSNBC on their morning show.
Yeah.
That, you know, let's figure out any type of complicated way to get, you know, to defeat Bernie and Bloomberg. We're telling you to get out of the race if Bernie does well in South Carolina.
Yeah.
And Eric,
mm-hmm.
go for it.
Okay, kids, here's the obvious. The very first primary that Bloomberg will actually be on the ballot for is Super Tuesday.
To defeat.
They want him. He spent $500 million and they're saying to him, yeah, we know you spent $500 million, but get out before you're actually in.
Never enter the race.
Don't actually
Never be
ever,
part of a primary.
Because if that were to happen, look, our listeners, and we love you guys. We do. We're the station that cares. You guys know how crazy it's been. You know that anything is possible. It's quite possible. Sunday morning, Bloomberg says, okay, no, I'm out. I don't think that's going to happen. Dollars to donuts, it ain't going to happen. Because it means that Mike Bloomberg quits before he even started. Is anyone on that panel listening to themselves to what they're actually saying?
Yes. That Bloomberg has spent $500 million and should get out before he's ever been in any primary, in any election. He needs to get out now. With the hope that Biden, if
would
he wins South Carolina,
yeah.
will pick up this incredible momentum.
Mm-hmm.
He could still win Texas by a couple of votes, but proportionally, still not going to make that much of a difference between him and Sanders.
No,
but and so the other states, if you look at it, California is going to go to Sanders.
Yep.
No matter what. But that's the best part. You just spent $500 million and you never entered the race.
Yeah, we want you to get out before we want you to throw that $500 million. Look, he's not going to get the nomination unless there's something cool that happens at the convention. Here's what that's exactly what they're asking him to do. Get out before you're even in. Are you nuts? First of all, two words, early voting. I mean, you know, this is the ignorance on the left.
They're a ton of early voting's already been done in Texas.
Right.
Yes.
They're so desperate. They are so desperate that they are looking at this saying, you know, hey, what if we put them all together as one administration? What do they think this is? Super Friends? What? Is this some kind of Marvel Comics movie? Hey, you get to be Iron Man. You get to be the Hulk. And then you get, you know, I have no idea which one of them in that series is president or on the top of the list. You get to be Thor. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Friedman, a unity ticket and Friedman.
Right.
I just love Friedman's article. Everybody who's ever thought about running for president
right.
is on there. And then throwing Mitt Romney in as Secretary of Commerce was just the best. I mean, that was the cherry on top of the milkshake for me.
By the way,
a milkshake that I would never drink, by the way.
I just got to say this. Don't send me an email. I know Super Friends is DC and that Iron Man is Marvel. I know that. I was just making a political point. I know I'm going to get the email. It's probably already in my inbox.
Well, I didn't know the difference.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because on Twitter, one of the Marvel movies was out in the theaters and it was like only a day or two old. And it was like, there's this huge surprise ending. Oh my gosh. And then someone posted, I can't believe Batman dies at the end. Batman is DC, not Marvel. All the geeks went crazy. Well, the non-geeks actually said, this was the great thing. The non-geeks were like, how dare you put a spoiler out? But I had to make that distinction.
The fact that I have no idea what you're talking about makes me a non-geek.
Or a boomer.
Or a boomer.
Yeah.
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 I don't care.
Actually, don't Superman care was that, was back around in your day. It was the horrible Superman that was on a string. Remember that? The TV show.
Yeah. The good Superman.
Yeah.
Something did come out of
planking, or was he on a string?
Something good came out of the boomer generation.
Yeah.
The original Superman.
Uh-huh. Yeah, kind of flabby Superman. Yeah. Let's face it.
And the good Jimmy Olsen and Lois Lane.
Exactly.
And the editor of the Daily Planet.
Right. Now, Christopher Reeve was cool Superman.
Yeah, he was. I loved Super.
Yeah.
Was it one where they were at Niagara Falls? Because I remember when they filmed that.
Yeah, I think it was.
I remember when they filmed that.
Yeah.
All right, coming up.
now that we calm the geeks down, this really is turning out. This is the desperation of the left. We'll put them together as one big group. What they're saying, let me translate that. If we put them all together, it's probably our only hope of beating Trump. Well, here's the thing. It's still not going to happen. You know, I know we don't make predictions, but the way things are going, if Trump doesn't win, I'm not going to leave the country. I'm going to leave the planet. Me and Richard Branson are going to get on a spaceship and we're gone.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Tips from J.J. Keller and Associates Incorporated on driver wellness. Set regular workouts. A workout regimen that produces results requires regularly scheduled exercising. And we're not talking once or twice a week. Once you've dedicated yourself to a workout plan, the next step is to establish a schedule, a routine. And to get the most out of your workout plan, your schedule should include at least 3 or 4 sessions a week. Another important step is to incorporate the workout into your schedule. Try to get your workouts in at the same time every day. Get into a routine so that it just becomes part of your day, like brushing your teeth or scheduling a rest break. By committing to a schedule, you have a better chance of making the regimen last a long time. This tip was brought to you by J.J. Keller and Associates Incorporated. Visit us at jjkeller.com.
This has been the Meritor Driver Report, brought to you by Pilot Flying J, Shell Rotella, and Meritor Aftermarket. Run with the bull.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Coming up following the bottom of the hour, we will get to the Super Tuesday primaries.
Yeah, right.
South Carolina looks like it's a slam dunk for Biden. What does it look like after that? Will there be momentum? Will there not be momentum? Do the primary voters know that South Carolina is going to Biden and made their decision anyway? And when you look at the Super Tuesday states, which are California, Texas, North Carolina, Virginia, Colorado, Minnesota, Oklahoma, Utah, Massachusetts, Maine, Vermont, and Arkansas. By the way, Sanders up 38 in Vermont.
Wow. Okay.
Communism alive and well.
Oh, yeah.
The communist spirit.
Sure. Yeah.
Alive and well. Plus, we'll talk about the story from the New York Times about inside the DNC Democrat leaders. They do not want Sanders. They don't care if the party is torn apart because of it. And the majority of the superdelegates do not want Sanders. So right. If it's a brokered convention, expect them to go in a particular way, which is not for Sanders. And they don't care. The New York Times reporting, if the party is torn apart because of it, they don't want Sanders.
Well, I mean, it's if you look at that dynamic, just try and picture a DNC convention coming in. Bernie's got 45% of the delegates, right? The plurality, mm-hmm. A plurality.
Yep.
He doesn't get there to 50 and through the second vote. When the superdelegates get involved, all of a sudden somebody else Well, who would that be? It would logically, I guess, if you're looking at a trend, I know I'm not supposed to use logic right now with this crazy party, but it would have to be Biden, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because chances are...
Or Bloomberg.
Well, if Bloomberg surges after Super Tuesday, I mean, right. If he gets a great number of delegates and has that kind of momentum, it could be Bloomberg. Then you've got, oh my gosh, worse than Biden, Bloomberg, the billionaire walks out after buying the election,
yep,
or the nomination.
Right.
He's going to buy his way to the White House. So Bernie's people are going to show up and vote for Bloomberg on November 3rd? No, that's not going to happen.
The Bonus Show.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. And I'm reading this here from KNBC9, from Oberlin, Kansas. The Decatur County Sheriff's Office in Oberlin, Kansas, says that meth purchased locally might be contaminated with the coronavirus, which is not true, and they're advising drug users to get their supplies tested for free. It's a sheriff's attempt to get meth off the street in Northwest Kansas with a funny twist. In a Facebook post, the sheriff's office asked users to bring their meth in to have it tested. The sheriff even said that they would be willing to come to users' home if they're too embarrassed to bring it in. Wow.
I love it.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Getting back, I just saw that story had related. getting back to other news, as we're here at this Friday, what really is incredible when you think about this is Bernie Sanders was in the clear. When you think about it, all the momentum was going Sanders' way.
Yeah, sure.
Everything was going his way. And you and I had asked the question a couple of weeks ago, because we noticed, we said, And I said, Eric, does it seem that by him talking about we need to transform, it's transforming this country, that he seems to be pounding that? And people that have been around a while would sit there and say, it sounds like a Marxist message.
Right.
And you and I were talking about that off the air and on the air a little bit, saying, wow, have you noticed this? And then it came to complimenting the good things from the murderous, torturous Castro, dictatorship, communist dictatorship in Cuba. And then he just stuck with it.
Yeah, right.
And you and I think we agree on this, that, look, if you look at Bernie Sanders, he's claiming to run. I'm running as a Democratic socialist.
Right.
I'm a Democrat socialist, yeah, is what I'm, running as. Now, we know his entire life he's been a Marxist. We know it. You can go and look at everything that he has said and the causes that he has supported all throughout it. But he is running as a Democrat. So he's not running as a communist or a Marxist. But the fact is that instinct is with him because it's who he is.
Right.
It's who he's always been. And so he will not get off and did not cut off the narrative that, no, we need to complement the things that dictatorial communism has done, the positives that have been created, to the point where the most liberals people in the Democrat Party are saying, you need to shut up. And so you think about that. He himself has caused his self-destruction this entire week.
Yeah, sure.
He is solely responsible for it. And it's one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. politically because of the self-destruction, because how many points was he up? You know, you look at the forecast and everything else that was out there, and all of a sudden he starts promoting something that you can't even convince the majority of Democrats, not even a minority of Democrats.
Well,
can look at it and support it. They'll go, no, you need to move on to something else. You can't be promoting. Look, if you want to promote Democrat socialism, or if you wish to promote a large welfare state and compare yourself to the Nordic countries, that's fine. The Nordic countries get upset when he refers to them as socialists, and they're like, no, we're not. We're extremely free market. We disagree with what you're going to do, but you could still get away with that.
Sure.
You can still and get away with the nuance. Okay, what's the difference between a socialist society and a society that has a free market industrial and business base but has more social welfare programs? That you can get away with even with mainstream Americans, you know, the gimmies that exist, gimme, 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 gimme. You can get away with that. But when you start, when you sit there and say, I'm a Democrat socialist. I'm about a what I'm about is a bigger, social safety net and all of that to ensure that people can be whatever they wish to be. And then you go from that point to complimenting a communist dictatorship, and you won't get off that narrative. I played the audio cut yesterday from the liberal talk show host. Or I don't know if she's still a talk show host or not. She's now a Fox News contributor, and I knew her when she was in Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
And Leslie Marshall, who is as liberal as you can get. She worked down in Miami. She goes, I had girlfriends that were raped by that regime. Wow. You know, we sat there. We saw them come up. Wow. We saw the boat people come up. How he could do this. How he could make that. How he could promote basically a bigger social welfare state and say that's what he's about.
Yeah.
Or even socialism. And then not be able to get off that narrative is just unacceptable. It's reprehensible. You name it. And you could tell she was furious at it. You can't even with the most liberal people make that jump. But I believe that's just the instinct. That's the Marxist instinct of a radical where you just can't let that go. It's a part of who he is, and he just won't drop it.
Well, no, I mean, look, you weren't going to change Trump fundamentally. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And we've known pretty much what Trump believes for decades. Bernie's the same kind of creature. Not that they believe the same thing,
right.
But they have been consistent for ages. And, you know, the party, frankly, needs to look at this and say and because they're trying to make you believe that they don't believe in some of those things. Obama did say that in 2016. Now, we called him out on it. It was at a town hall. He wasn't running. He wasn't ever going to have, he wasn't ever going to go through an election cycle again, outgoing president. And it's like, you know, those are silly comments. But so he wasn't being vetted.
What comment in particular from Obama?
When he talked about the Cuba thing.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
And
we
brought you the quote.
Yes.
On the, I think, Monday morning show, Tuesday morning show. Okay. And he did, again, there are so many common threads in the party with Bernie. Did you guys really think by going further left, more and more and more and more, that it wasn't going to end up like this? And now you're saying, well, he's not electable? You guys have been shouting these types of ideas for a long, long time. Right. And now you wonder why America doesn't want it. The fact of the matter is, America's been rejecting those ideas quietly for a long, long time. It's why we haven't transformed into a socialist communist nation. Now, we have plenty of problems with social welfare programs. But when you talk about the type of promotion that Bernie is doing, you know, Obama said it at a town hall, but you have to, you know, consider the fact that they always saw him as the smartest guy in the room. Bernie, he just looks too crazy. He's got the real googly eyes and googly hair.
Doc.
Yeah. And the thing is he's angry, but his base is angry. They've been angry for a long time. He's promising all this free stuff. And the Democrats, you guys have been promising this free stuff, promising the world forever. And did you think it was going to go any other place? I mean, when they, let's go back and entertain that idea. Just the question, what would Barack Obama, if he had never run for the White House, and this was his first election in 2020, what would he sound like? He'd be sounding a lot like Elizabeth Warren, mm-hmm, and somewhat like Bernie.
Especially early on.
Yes.
When we remember, it was, you know, Bernie hasn't said, think about some of the radical stuff that even Bernie and Elizabeth Warren haven't said.
Right.
For example, when Obama was speaking to the San Francisco Chronicle, mm-hmm, to the editorial board, and told them, and it's on tape,
yep,
under my plan, I would skyrocket electricity, yes, prices.
Forget whether I say, right, coal is good or bad.
Right.
I would impose a set of regulations, and that would require them to retrofit. Right. And that would cost them money, and they would go under. That would bankrupt the coal industry, which is exactly what he did.
Not only bankrupt the coal industry, he was telling people, I'm going to skyrocket,
yes,
your electricity, yes, prices, yes, while destroying an industry,
yeah,
which even, Bernie hasn't put it in those words. He hasn't said, I'm going to skyrocket the electricity prices,
right,
of all Americans. Now, his plan would.
Now, he did say, the only time he even came close to that was when he said Americans will be overjoyed to pay for it, or happy to pay for it, or whatever it was.
Would have to pay to pay more in taxes.
Right, right.
But he didn't put the way Obama did.
Yes.
I will skyrocket electricity prices because everybody uses electricity.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone.
Yes.
And so everybody needs electricity. To say I'm going to skyrocket electricity prices. Now, he didn't do it. He said it early in 2007.
Seven,
yes. Yeah. And he really never mentioned it again.
No.
He probably got some advice saying, shut up.
Yeah.
You don't win an election by telling everybody you're going to skyrocket electricity prices. What you say is, as Bernie Sanders is doing, which is, this revolution will be great. We will nationalize the energy companies. Solar and wind will be wonderful. You'll love them. We'll create millions of jobs and people will save money. You just bald-faced lie to them.
If Trump had said that in 2007, or let's just make it fair, in 2015 he had said that. Imagine Trump said that. Under my plan of cap and trade, electricity rates would necessarily skyrocket.
Wow.
He never would have made the stage.
No, he wouldn't have. No.
Because the media wouldn't have stopped.
Right.
But Obama's the smartest guy in the room, even before he was president. And the West Virginia Coal Miners Association, or union, endorsed him after he said that.
Yeah. We're going to bankrupt your industry. Hey, we think we'll vote for you.
Yes.
We'll endorse you.
Yes, we'd like to stay home more.
Right. They didn't in 2012, though, remember?
No, that? Yeah, but they also didn't endorse Romney. Unreal.
Coming up, more polls for Super Tuesday coming up to set the table here, because we're going to have a good idea where momentum is going, and we'll see whether... here in the next couple of days, and especially, I can't wait till next Wednesday to see.
Oh my gosh!
To see
when we come in here next Tuesday night, Wednesday morning
actually,
show.
Tuesday night, Wednesday morning,
yeah,
is when he'll update 5:38.
Yeah, it'll probably update like every 10 minutes.
Well, we're gonna have a much better idea, because you're gonna have a ton of delegates in at that point,
mm-hmm,
which you're gonna be able to figure out whatever. However, he does the algorithm, it'll be look. Nate Silver, he becomes more accurate the more primaries that you have.
Right, exactly.
And it can change, but it's changed. It's changed since the last last week, mm-hmm, because of the self-inflicted damage done to the Sanders campaign by Sanders himself.
Yes, he's doubling down, tripling down, quadrupling down.
We have got to make sure that as president, we've got to compliment communist dictatorships. How insane!
Right. Trump has a sit-down with Kim Jong-un, and the world's going to end.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll-free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carlin. I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. Looks like it's going to be a tough day on Wall Street tomorrow again. I'm looking now. Dow futures anywhere tonight down between any. I've seen between 172 and 600 down. It's flying all over the place.
Thursday ended down 1190. You look at the last several trading days, and it's not good. The press conference by the president yesterday happened after closing bell. I don't know if that adds confidence. According to, if you look at where the futures
are. You mean 2 days?
Day before yesterday, right. Yes. Wednesday afternoon was after closing bell. I don't know if that added to confidence or chaos. I mean, you look at the downside of 1190, and the markets don't. It tells me the markets don't know how to price it in. I don't know that it had anything to do with the president's words, except for the fact that that press conference basically pointed to more uncertainty, more questions, I guess, than answers.
Well, that's all you have in something like this. Yep. Nobody knows.
Yes. And in terms of your daily life, that's one thing. But the market, when that kind of uncertainty plays out, this is uncertainty on top of uncertainty, because it's uncertain how the virus will spread and how it will affect business globally. We already know with the airline companies. They're taking a hit. Boeing's taking a hit. And that's a company that actually did not need another hit like this in terms of their stock.
Then the news you hear is conspiracy theories.
Right.
Well, this might be happening, or this could happen, or this might have happened, or we're not sure what happened here, but this happened over. And it's like.
And any one of those theories is viable, for the most part, because of the fact that we cannot get real information from China. Virtually no one else in the world is trusting what China's putting out in terms of the information.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the world, 866-90 Red Eye. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Welcome and good morning. By the way, the biggest news item of the day is Dunkin' Donuts introducing their new menu item, a sleeve of bacon. Did you see that?
A sleeve of bacon?
Yeah, you know, like the package that fries come in, they basically just put bacon in it. Just bacon.
Oh, man. Okay, I'm going to leave the show early again.
I had the same reaction.
Yeah.
I had the exact same
reaction.
I don't think they're open yet. I went, wow. And it's like you just get a sleeve. You get, I think, eight half pieces of bacon. And they showed it. I mean, it looks like, you know.
You're not like teasing me or something. This isn't like some kind of sick joke, is it?
Look at the headline. Dunkin's new menu item is a sleeve of bacon. That's it. Just bacon. You say, can I get a sleeve of bacon? And they give you this little thing that looks like fries would come in the little package, and there's bacon sticking out of it. I know.
No, you know what?
I went, that's really good.
This kind of upsets me. I'm clearly going to be at Dunkin' Donuts when they open here in a bit. But number two, why haven't we been doing this already?
That's what I thought. I went, what a great idea. Nobody's ever thought about it. Nobody ever thought it before.
It's a given.
Yes.
It's a given. I mean, you can buy a huge thing of fries, fried potatoes, which was like brilliant. James L. Fry, I think, was the guy that invented those. I might be making that up. I'm not sure. It's none of my business. But the bacon. Well, come on, people. This should have happened a long time. We can send a man to the moon.
And nobody thought, hey, I'll just have an order of bacon.
Yeah. Hey, can I just get two large bacons?
And the fact is, I'm very disappointed that McDonald's didn't think of it first. You thought you would think they would have bacon.
First of all, I'm disappointed I didn't think of it first.
I know.
Can you imagine? I'm just open a store called Just Bacon. What do you have?
Bacon.
You have anything to drink? No. I guess you could drink some bacon grease if you want. But
coffee.
That's up to you.
Okay, get a coffee and bacon.
No. Just bacon. The stores. Because
just
this is,
bacon.
Now, see, here's the thing. I love this orange juice called Simply Orange. It's really good.
Yeah.
By the way, we're just giving out tons of dollars worth of free commercials this morning.
I know.
But I love it. It's really good. I don't drink it much, but when I do drink it, it's my favorite, right? And here's the thing. But then it started to become Simply Orange with whatever. You know, wait a minute. No, then it's not Simply Orange. Simply Orange with, no. Just Simply Orange. So if I open a store and it's just bacon, it's just going to be bacon.
Yeah, I used to drink orange juice, but too much sugar. Yeah. And then they have the half.
Yeah, the half sugar.
If I really feel like it during the summer.
Yeah.
Because it's amazing, because I used to be addicted to orange juice. Mm. Wake up, you know, in the morning, you're like, what? And it just was the perfect, better than coffee.
Yeah.
And I've been off it so long where it's like, whatever, I can take it or leave it. And if I ever have an urge for it, I'll get the half sugar stuff. But
there's a classic Brian Regan bit about the cranberry salesman.
Mm-hmm.
He's walking around. What do you got there? Orange juice? Okay, we'll go halves and halves. We'll have cran orange. What do you got there? Grape? Okay, half and half. We'll do cran grape. This guy must be working his backside off of this great Brian Regan bit.
According to Dunkin' Donuts, Snackin' Bacon. That's what they're calling it.
Snackin' Bacon.
Includes 8 half slices of bacon flavored with sweet black pepper, seasoned for a sweet and savory combination. They serve Snackin' Bacon in a sleeve for on-the-go on-the-go snacking ease. The menu item was released on February 26th. Now at all participating locations. Well, Dunkin' Donuts will be packed today.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, we talked. Remember when KFC came out with that one sandwich that had like, I don't know, 6,000 calories?
It was a piece of chicken. It was a chicken sandwich, but instead of 2 pieces of bread, it had 2 other pieces of chicken.
That was it. Yes.
Remember?
Yeah. Yes. Yes, that was it.
I think they used to just call that a 3-piece chicken.
And I was always going to try it, and I never did.
Yeah.
It's never, but I went,
yeah.
Oh, but that would have been my only meal of the day.
I forget who it was that's coming out with it. I don't know if it's KFC or somebody else. One of the chicken places is going to have a chicken sandwich and the bread is 2 donuts.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Is that KFC?
Who's doing this? I think it's KFC. Doing that too, the donut thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. That one didn't, I didn't go.
Well, it's kind of the chicken and waffle thing. What I would have done instead of the donuts, I would have done 2, you know, you can get those pre-sweetened waffles, you know, or just give them syrup on the side. You know, the kids like syrup on the side. That's what I hear. But I would do a waffle sandwich with chicken in the middle.
You know what I miss? And I got low carb. I got this mix. It's low carb pancakes.
Mm.
I haven't tried it yet.
Is it almond flour, maybe?
It's probably almond flour, but it's low carb pancakes with... Yeah. No sugar syrup, and I'm going to try it one of these days.
Right.
I just haven't done it yet, but
yeah.
I really miss pancakes. That's one thing I've had the urge. Thing is, I was almost 4 years ago when I was diagnosed. It came out of the blue, you know, it just, boom, my genetics hit. And thank goodness I found it out. They believe in the same month that my genetics kicked off and gave me type 2 diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
So there was never any damage. And so everything is normal sugar. So you're not doing any. Right now, if I got tested right now, you would not know I had type 2.
Right.
Your
blood, it's within range. It's within normal range.
It's in the A1C. What is it called? A1C is in the 5 range.
Mm.
And over 7 is diabetes. So, I mean, it's normal. You'd look at it and you go, okay, it's fine.
Right.
And so I'm not doing really, damage to anything, so it shouldn't affect me the rest of my life. The goal is for something else to kill me. So I actually feel blessed because it has.
That's a good goal to have.
Yeah, something else going to kill me besides this thing. My stupidity, maybe. You know, drag racing on highways.
Boredom when you retire.
exactly. Something which I don't plan on doing.
I don't plan on doing.
You know, that's the one thing. It's the first really year and a half that's tough because you've got to sit there and say you want that sugar rush, all these things that you've eaten your entire life, and it's like you just can't do it. And so you try to substitute, and you can splurge once in a while. Like once a month I'll splurge, because if you raise your blood sugar for one day, it's no big deal. Then you've got to get right back on the horse again.
Right.
And it's like, okay,
you
got to
be good. You have a horse?
Well, I eat horse meat. It's very low carb.
Okay, good. I hear it's delicious.
But after a while now it's no big deal anymore. Now it's like low. It's. I'm amazed how disciplined. Maybe it's not disciplined. It's just other people view it as being disciplined. They go, wow, you're really disciplined. It's like, no, I just have become used to eating what I eat now, which is when it's low carb, it's a pretty bland diet.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like you just become used to it after a period of time. Which
Because a lot of the cravings are cyclical. So you get into like the Christmas season or something, and you have pie. I'm talking about any given person. You have a piece of pie, and the next thing you know, you get into January, you get that gym membership, and then about January 2nd, you go back to eating pie again because you miss that pie you just had a couple of weeks ago. I think it is a cyclical or habitual thing for a lot of people too. You go to your favorite grocery store, right?
Yeah.
You just grab the same things,
yep,
and you put those in your home, in your kitchen, or in your basement, wherever you want to eat. And then you eat the same thing because you're buying the same thing. The buying habits, the shopping habits have to change first.
One of the toughest time of the year is October through December when it's my own fault because I started baking, you know, the banana bread for everybody.
Yeah.
And and I tried, you know, the low carb, you know, the low carb
the almond flour.
Whatever, the very low carb almond flour and no sugar, the sugar substitute, and the consistency just isn't there. It was like, oh, this sucks.
Mm.
You just couldn't reproduce it. So what I do is I make one for me. Just one, and I slice it up and put it in the freezer. I had a piece last week,
mm-hmm,
you know, and I still have like six or seven pieces. It's been in the freezer for over 2 months now.
Right.
And it's still fantastic. You let it thaw and it's still great.
Right.
And so I can have one once every, you know, once in a while. But that was tough because I ended up this year making 39 loaves of banana bread over that time period.
You had an assembly line going.
I did.
Ethel and Lucy on the chocolate assembly line.
Yeah, exactly.
It was banana bread.
And I give it.
It was
all,
really good, by the way. Great.
Yeah,
you gave
me
a loaf. It was really, really terrific.
And so I give it away every year, and it's just it's going up about 10 a year, and I'm like, I don't know if I can do 50 next year.
Yeah. Well, you're turning into a really the next Mr. Baird or little Debbie.
Well, I told you that the what was it, the FedEx place when I was shipping one out.
Right.
She said, "Well, what kind of business are you in?" I said, "Well, this isn't a business."
Mm.
What do you mean? You know, I sent it out to people that, you know, they requested because I've made it. It's grandma's recipe. And first it was my sister, and then it was my parents, and then it was a couple of other people that I know that tasted it. And then it kept expanding and expanding. And 15 years later, I was up to almost 40 loaves. And so I start early in October, you know, and with the test loaves. And then it's like, okay, because I got to do test loaves because you sort of forget what's the exact consistency of it.
Right.
It's got to be exactly right. And by the time November comes around, it can be weeks. It can be days where the most I made in a day was 8.
Hmm.
And that's all day in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I can't put 2 in the oven. I only can put 1 in at a time because if it's not exactly the right in my oven, if it's not exactly 51 minutes of one loaf in the oven. If you put 2 loaves in, it's not the same.
Right. Right.
If it's not in exactly 51 minutes, and I'm timing it, it isn't the exact consistency of bread that I like. That is absolutely, well, you had it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
where
great.
It's that really moist and everything. You're like, wow, this is really great.
Mm-hmm.
But I can do it, and I really don't have the urge to eat a ton of it. That's the thing.
Yeah.
So it's, and people say, how do you do that? My doctor asked me, how do you do that? How can you do that? And it's said, I just do it. And I put aside, like I said, the one loaf for me. And then one of the last loaves in December is for me. And then I just, you know, so. But and the smile of people that like it is worth it.
Yeah.
People think, wasn't that like fruitcake? Everybody's pretending they like it, and I go, I hope not. Because,
No. Because it's very good.
Right? Because
it's very good.
Because I really don't want to be doing it unless I have to. Because it's sort of now I will say I do love it because it almost has become a holiday tradition, and you're in the kitchen, and the smells are there.
Yeah, yeah.
One thing that is great though.
Yeah. What do you got?
One thing that I do
mm-hmm.
when I make it.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in that time of the year, because you're into the fall and the winter, which is really more fallish.
Yeah, right.
You just sip on it.
Mm-hmm.
Apple brandy.
Oh.
You got the smell of banana bread, and you're sipping on the apple brandy.
See, I'm not familiar with brandy. Is it like wine? Is brandy like wine?
No, it's more like a liqueur.
Okay.
Cordial, something like that. And
right, okay.
A little bit thicker, but you're not getting drunk on it.
Well, because you don't want to drink a lot of that anyway. It's too thick, right?
Yes,
too rich.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right, but you just sip it. You take a tiny sip, and you got the smell of banana, and you sip it. It's like, oh, man.
And my grandmother used to do that, but with tequila. And not when she was baking, when she was watching Price is Right.
And so a couple of people have come over one time, a couple of my women friends, and they'll be over, and they just love it. They go, you've really got this down. It's like a sensual explosion. It's like, yeah, exactly.
Okay,
so.
Yeah.
But there you go.
Yeah. You know, it's...
And this all started with bacon. This whole conversation started with...
Every great conversation in the history of our great nation started with bacon.
Bacon.
I'm pretty sure about that. I'm not a historian.
We're going to get a...
But I'm fairly accurate there.
We're
going to
get
sure.
a PETA protest.
Yeah.
You guys shouldn't be talking about that. We were disgusted.
Should I tell PETA about my faux puppy rugs?
No. No.
Okay. So they can make...
No.
So they can make stuffed animals.
No.
But
no,
I can't
no,
have
no,
faux
no,
puppy rugs?
No. No. All right. We got to go. We have to go. We got to. You got in too much trouble last time. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. 866-90-RED-EYE. I'm going to have to shave here. I've got my 5-day shadow, not 5 o'clock, 5 day. I just haven't shaved, and I apparently saw the advice there on beards for the coronavirus.
Shave your beards.
I need to make sure I have no facial hair here.
Yeah, yeah.
So just to be.
Chuck Norris replied to the health officials and said, "Shut up."
It will be interesting to see when this is all over, what was hyped and what was not hyped.
You know, this is the problem, because we kind of went through this with Ebola, did we not?
Yes, we did.
I'm not saying it wasn't serious in other parts of the world,
right?
But the concern here at home, the concern, especially with trade, wasn't there. It was a little bit of a, you know, step back and a little bit of hype with Ebola, but it didn't last. I suspect, and I've been told by a couple of friends who are scientists, and they said that typically what you'll see when you get out of the cold months, you get into the summer, is that this virus scare will be gone. Not that it won't be around, but it's just like flu season. It will have its season, and if we get into warmer weather, then there's a decent chance, historically speaking, that it will be reduced. Diminished greatly. We'll see if that happens. I hope that happens. I hope it happens before then.
And I was just reading the forecast yesterday that they suspect that spring is coming early to places like Texas. So which means,
right.
and we're already going to see, I think, 70 degrees this, you know, this weekend. And then you can definitely see a warming trend next week. So it will be interesting to see, you know, what happens. And the other thing is, when you have a correction, because we're in correction territory with the stock market now. Down over 3,000 points. I don't even know. I haven't checked in 15 minutes.
Mm.
But last I checked it, we were down, you know, 300 for the Dow futures. That they say normally after a correction like this happens, it takes about 4 months to get back to where you were again. Except normally when we're in correction territory.
It's based on certain fundamentals.
Right. It's based on certain fundamentals. It's based on economic things.
Right. The planes start flying again, I mean, if there is that back and forth again, passenger travel increases again to that part of the world. But again, on something like this, even if they come out and say, okay, you know, we think we're good. We've got a handle on it. Everybody can go back to traveling. People make their own choices out of precaution.
I was reading that that there's actually people that won't buy Corona beer.
Right.
Well, because there's a significant number of people that said, we're not going to buy Corona beer in fear of the virus. I mean, people get to be, you know, we do live in a society. We do live in a drama society.
Well, when people stop going to Chinese restaurants here in our state in North America, in North Texas, rather, the report came out that over the last few weeks, business has dropped significantly. Well, it doesn't work that way, but it doesn't matter. Perception is reality.
Yes.
And out of, you know, an abundance of caution, they stay home and quit going. That's just how people react. It doesn't seem logical or fair, but it is. Here's your forecast.
The area of active weather today that'll see snowfall overnight but rain by about midday would be eastern Tennessee near Knoxville along I-81, southwestern Virginia, Bristol, Kingsport, Johnson City. Snow flurries overnight, rain by noon. Eastern Kentucky, mainly I-64, but south of Indianapolis certainly, and near Louisville, just a trace of snow overnight, then rain by noon. Most all of West Virginia affected by the overnight snow. Not a lot of accumulation, but low temperatures in the 20s. And by mid-morning, early afternoon, we'll see a changeover from snow to rain. So there could be the small window potential for icing during that period. In the west, rain for Washington, Oregon, and Northern California's coast. Snow in the mountains for the Sierras and Cascades. And that snow will spill over into northern Idaho. A look at your national forecast this morning from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Your forecast is brought to you by the TruckSmart mobile app from Travel Centers of America. Download TruckSmart today to get what you need when you need it.
They finish each other's sentences. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley on Red Eye Radio.
And he is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. We'll take a look at some of the polling for Super Tuesday states here and South Carolina in just a moment, the latest. But I do want to play this because it's just the obvious that you and I have always said about Bloomberg. We said, well, Bloomberg's going to run as a Democrat. Really? He's going to get pounded, you know, for stop and frisk and a whole bunch of different other things that he did while he was mayor of New York that liberals disagree with. And he was on the PBS NewsHour. And again, it's like I'm watching this going, all you are is on the defensive
right
all the time.
Yeah.
Number one. And if they can't get you anything, you're on the defensive for being a billionaire. As soon as you say I'm a capitalist, well, then you're in the wrong party.
Yeah,
you can't.
Of course,
you've spent $500 million so far on this, and he doesn't seem to still realize it. Just a little part of the interview as they talk about the widespread surveillance of the Muslim community after the 9/11 terrorist attacks, and it's like listening, it's just laughing, going, "Do you understand what party you're in? What party you're embracing?" But here's just part of that interview.
Associated Press reporting on a secret police surveillance program that targeted Muslims, focusing on places where they worked, prayed, and socialized. At one point, undercover officers were sent with a student on a rafting trip. You said later the surveillance was justified in order to keep the country safe, but there have been independent reviews since that showed not a single arrest was made.
Well, that's good.
Be attributed to this surveillance.
Okay. Number one, remember, you're talking about right after 9/11 when everybody was petrified about another terrorist attack. We were super careful to always obey the law. Number one, it's the right thing to do. And number two, you knew people would be looking at it. We sent some officers into some mosques to listen to the sermon that the imam gave. The courts ruled it was exactly within the law, and that's the kind of thing we should be doing. I don't remember the rafting trip story whatsoever, but I do remember that. And we were very careful. And the authorities that looked at us said, yes, you complied with the law. But we had every intention of going every place we could legally to get as much information to protect this country. We had just lost 3,000 people at 9/11. Of course we're supposed to do that.
Do you think it was necessary to single out Muslim Americans that way? And would you do that as president?
Whether or not we looked elsewhere, there were lots of places we looked. We have an intelligence department in the police department, which is, I think, one of the finest in the world. I assume it still is.
And there you go, though. I just wanted to play that to show them on the defensive. It's like, you think this matters. Do you understand the party that you're in?
Well, it's becoming more and more apparent that he does not. However, I mean, look, he's not. His only hope is the brokered convention of getting the nomination. Mm-hmm. That's an outside chance. Part of me believes he's okay with just being the spoiler as well. That if he can't get the nomination through a brokered convention, he's the spoiler and he ensures that Bernie doesn't get the nomination.
Well, yeah, but as we see now, whether it's MSNBC and on the morning show with Morning Joe, where they're saying he should drop out after spending $500 million before he's even in one primary in order to not let Sanders win.
Right.
And that actually by him entering the race, he is now has made it easier for Sanders to be much closer to taking the nomination, which is just hilarious. But again, you may have the average person listen to Bloomberg and say, oh, yeah, well, of course, after 9/11, yes, 3,000 people died. Of course, that was the correct place to go. And it was all legal. You're talking to Democrats.
It is insane. Well, but the other night, did Warren know what stage she was on when she used the word kill it?
No. Yeah, exactly. I thought the same thing. Listen, Mr. Bloomberg, remember, stop, question, and frisk was also legal and constitutional.
Right.
It doesn't matter to the Democrat Party.
No.
It doesn't matter whether it reduced crime.
Well,
it
having $60 billion from all that we know, he earned that money legally. But for the Democrats on the far left, it's almost a crime. It's immoral for him to have that much money.
It doesn't matter whether you made $1 billion legally.
Right.
You might have done it legally, but all those things you did in the mind of a liberal Democrat, which now controls the majority of the party, it is absolutely wrong and immoral.
Right.
Do you understand what party you're running for president in? And that's the thing that just is, you shake your head. And these were some of the warning signs that we and others said, does he understand where he is right now? And by his performance, especially in the first debate, they didn't pound on him as much in the second debate, but he still didn't do anything to help his cause in any way.
Right.
But he was so unprepared for the first debate as if he didn't even realize that. It's almost as if there was no concept in his mind about the things that he had done and where the Democrat Party stands today on so many issues, which was really amazing because it showed any type of lack of awareness of the reality of where that political party is right now from him.
Yeah. I mean, it is, it's funny because you've got part of the party that is so far away from Bernie and part of the party that's so far away from Bloomberg. And Biden's just kind of far away from everybody right now based on things he's saying on the road. I'm seriously concerned about Joe Biden. The things he's been saying, it's not just gaffe. This is happening almost every day right now. And it's bizarre. But the money's still coming in for Joe. It has slowed down. It's still coming in for Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Bloomberg's money can come in. Well, he's got up to $60 billion. it depends on how many checks he wants to write to him. I don't see Bloomberg going anywhere before the end of March. And this is how you get to Nate Silver's forecast.
And how don't you get to a brokered convention
exactly
if he stays in? You see what Nate, and we had looked at Nate Silver The fact that now broker convention is over 50%, which is the first time that now it may have early on, it may have a couple of months ago reached that level. I don't believe it ever did, though. But that level that we brought you about an hour ago, the latest forecast was like, whoa, because now brokered convention is in the dominant lead right now.
51.
And that's why you have the call. I mean, that's why Democrats, whether it was Tom Friedman, the New York Times, saying that they need to get to a unity ticket where and I don't know who would announce it, because Friedman's saying somebody should announce it. Well, who announces what the unity ticket's going to be? Because you're going to be at the top of that unity ticket.
Well,
so you're going to are you going to claim now I'm the winner and therefore here will be my unity ticket?
Well, who does that? You know, if you're Bloomberg, you're looking at this going, okay, Nate Silver's right, and I'm going to walk in to a brokered convention. I'm going to wheel and deal. And he has, well, last I checked, the morning after his first debate, he had 15 congressional endorsements. And that's second only to Biden.
Well, I was reading an article on Buttigieg and what he's attempting to do. He's trying to stay in as long as possible to see where this could all end up. So if Buttigieg is in it, And this is the, I believe, what the fallacy is of the Democrats that are hoping for Bloomberg to pull out before there's even a, before he's even in one primary, is the fact that if Buttigieg is staying in because he still sees a path.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
That you just don't know what's going to happen in a brokered convention, so I'm staying in as long as possible. Well, then Bloomberg's not going to pull out.
No.
Before he's in one primary election. And that's what they were calling for on MSNBC. By the way, can you imagine how ticked off the Bernie Sanders people are to hear that? MSNBC telling Bloomberg to pull out so Biden can get the victory and you can blunt. Now they're actually giving political strategy on the morning show to the candidates in order to defeat Sanders.
You look at the the polls, the latest polls right now on Florida, which happens on St. Patrick's Day, March 17th. Okay. Total of 248 delegates up for grabs there. But right now, Nate Silver's, this is at 270 to win. What they're looking at in terms of the polls, the average polls, latest averages, right, between the 21st and the 26th. Of February, you have Biden in one of the latest polls, a St. Pete poll, and it was 2,788 likely voters, and a margin of error at 1.9%. Biden, again, this is Florida. Biden, 34, Bloomberg, 25, Sanders, 13. Now, the threshold in Florida is 15. I think it is with every state. So if Sanders doesn't get 15% of the vote in Florida, if he doesn't win, get to 15, he gets none of the delegates. So that they're going to be split, again, according to the polls. If you apply the polls here, according to 270towin.com, then Biden walks away with 118 out of Florida, and Bloomberg walks away with 101. Bloomberg's going to get just enough delegates to become the spoiler. It was the other day, was it Monday, I think, the New York poll came out, and it had Bernie leading Bloomberg in New York, which is interesting. I thought Bloomberg would have an advantage in his home state, and he may by the time they get there. But you look at Florida right now, and Bloomberg was ahead in one poll not too long ago. There was a chance that he could win Florida, but it looks right now, if you do the averages, at least, it looks like he, and again, it depends on the pollster you believe, but if you do the averages, Biden right now has the lead, just a slight lead over Bloomberg.
Yeah, Sanders is up in New York 25-21 over Bloomberg, and Biden only with 13 in New York.
Yeah.
So, all right, 866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Okay, I found the greatest analysis on why this president is the best president to control coronavirus. It goes to the five and Jesse Waters. You ready?
All right. All right, here we go.
Here we go.
The president was saying when the CDC person said it's inevitable that it's going to get larger, the president said nothing's inevitable. Right. It could get larger. It could get smaller. We just don't know. The guy is a germaphobe who's tough on China and is a border hawk. He's the perfect president to take on this virus.
No, but I mean, it's kind of what we've been saying because we said, OK, Democrats, let's do open borders now. We'll start with China.
And he did mention that, too. He said the early travel restriction brought us time, and everybody acknowledges it, yet he was called racist for doing it.
Right.
And so, but it was a great point, and everyone was just dying on the Fox News set right there when
well,
he said that.
Well, because, again, this is, you're going to get to the point where, I mean, you've already had Bernie talk about we need more open borders.
Yeah.
And we pointed out, look, there's no half measure, Bernie. You either have open borders or you don't. There's no half measure to border security. You either enforce the border or you don't.
You know, it's something that is a topic of substance on the overall open borders that Trump can make an effective case for and should make a case for. And
right.
People say, well, they play. I love this. Then he'd be playing politics with it. Well, politicians playing politics. Yeah, if the Democrats don't do that. I just love it. Everything's about politics. Well, they're politicians.
Yeah,
everything about you guys is talk radio.
That's
everything you guys
do
is about talk radio.
It's a talk radio show.
You're doing it because it's talk radio. Right, because I don't make donuts anymore.
Yeah.
Now, when I made donuts, we didn't have sleeves of bacon.
Man, see, you could have been a billionaire. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to call you a billionaire.
How dare you call me a billionaire?
Sorry.
I earn my money morally. Well,
sorry.
Then again, I'm a talk show host, so a lot of people probably would view that and say, as a conservative talk show host, no, you don't. You're as immoral as it gets, Gary.
That's right. Moral's a very strong word. How dare you?
All right, we'll get to your calls and comments. We got Craig, Larry, Mark, Austin, a bunch of folks wanting to get on. It is the Friday show.
Yeah, come on in. The water's fine. It's okay. Well, it's not fine. It's okay. It's decent.
It's okay.
Yeah.
We're doing all right. It's been a very, very, very interesting week.
Yeah.
And one bit of advice, don't pay attention to the stock market today.
Look away.
Look away.
Look away.
It's not going to be a good day, but, you know. Again, will it recover? Yes. When you're in it for the long term, it recovers.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.